Well, thank you so much, Pastor Keith, for that testimony. Aren't you thankful for God's testimony this morning? Amen. And you know, he asked me earlier if it'd be okay if he shared a little testimony this morning. I said, absolutely. We need more testimonies. We need more testimonies of God's grace and God's mercy. And I'd love to hear what God is doing in people's hearts and lives. And so if you have a testimony that you think would be good, let me know. Let Pastor Keith know. We'll make sure to include that as well. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, as you're turning there in your Bibles, let me speak to the men real quick this morning. Men, I hope that you saw the announcement about the men's fraternity that's going to start up on September the 11th at 6 o'clock a.m. in the Agape Center. How many of you were a part of our men's fraternity as about 6 or 7 years ago? Any of you are part of that? I see a few hands. It's been a while. 6 or 7 years ago, we did this together. And we had about 20 to 25 men who went through the study with us early in the morning. And it was a great time. We really enjoyed getting a chance to hear what Robert Lewis had to say about winning at work and at home. And I hope and pray that if you're able to join us this year, this time, it's like I said, it's been about 7 years since we did it, so I don't know about you, but I need a refresher course every now and then. And so make plans to be here. September the 11th will be the first one, and we'll have a great, great time together. So hope that you'll be able to join us in that time. We are in the middle of a series of messages that I've entitled Christianity 101, where we are just taking a few moments to look at some of the key doctrines of the Christian faith, some of the key things that I think it's important that you, as many of you as believers, know about Christianity. And if you're not a believer, my prayer is that you will hear these messages, and as you hear the messages, that you'll be drawn closer to making a decision for Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to talk about a subject that is central to the Christian faith. It is a critical doctrine that we're looking at this morning. It's the doctrine of justification. Martin Luther, the great person who led the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther said that justification is the cornerstone of Christianity. J.I. Packer, the church scholar, said that any church that has lapsed from justification by faith can scarcely be called a Christian church. That's how central, that's how important justification is. If you've done any type of study, whether in college or maybe study on your own on church history, you know that the doctrine of justification by faith is the hallmark, it is the touchstone of the Protestant Reformation. And so this morning, let's consider what is justification and why is it so very important to us? Why is it so very important to the church and to Christianity? Romans chapter 3 Romans chapter 3 is, I think, the best place for us to look at this morning as we think about the subject of justification. And so what I want us to do is read chapter 3, verses 23 through 28, and have a word of prayer together, and then we're going to look at this great subject of justification. Let's stand this morning in honor of reading God's Word together. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift." You know, a lot of times we memorize verse 23 in Awana and other ministries, we memorize verse 23, but I think it's important, critically important, that we also memorize verse 24. "And are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for giving us your word and for allowing us this morning to read and to study your word together. I pray and thank you for this great doctrine of the faith, the justification. We pray, God, that you would help us this morning as we consider this truth. Help us to be able to understand it and to apply it to our hearts and lives. For the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. As we talk about justification, I want us to begin by having a proper understanding of justification. Exactly what do we mean when we talk about God having justified us? What does it mean that the word justification? It's important that we have a proper understanding of this great truth. Now, sometimes you may hear someone say that they are trying to justify themselves. You, for example, you might hear me say, you know, I can eat these 3 or 4 donuts, chocolate glazed, you know, Boston cream filled. I can eat these donuts because I run 20 miles a week. All right, I'm justified in eating all these donuts because I run 20 miles a week. That the word justified in that definition means to make an excuse. All right, I'm just making an excuse for eating all of those donuts. I really don't eat that many donuts, but just I do eat chocolate ice cream though. All right, I could use that. I'm justified in eating chocolate ice cream because I run a few 20 miles a week, but that means an excuse. It's not what the word justify means in our text this morning. Another example of that is the Good Samaritan. If you remember the story of the Good Samaritan, the lawyer that came and asked Jesus the question about, you know, who is my neighbor? And Jesus began talking about the Good Samaritan. Before Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan, the Bible says this, but wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Again, the lawyer, the person who was asking the question, he was trying to make himself feel good. He was trying to give a reason for asking that question. But that's not what justify is all about. When we talk about the word justify from this perspective today, It kind of comes from a legal background. It's a term that comes from the courtroom. You see, to justify someone, you are declaring them not guilty. You're declaring them not guilty. It does not mean that you are automatically righteous, but it means that you have been declared righteous because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let's break it down just a little bit further. God deserves justice. Can you agree with that? God deserves justice. You see, because of our sinful condition, and Romans chapter 3, verse 23 clearly says that all of us are sinners, right? Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned. Everybody say all. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because we are sinners, we deserve death. We deserve to be separated from God. If we think about our condition really, the reality is our condition is hopeless. We deserve a guilty verdict. We deserve a sentence to eternity in separation from God. We deserve hell. That's what we deserve because we are sinners. And in light of our obvious guilt, if God were to declare us anything but guilty, He would cease to be a just and a good God. And so with that in mind, what can we do? What can we do? God deserves justice because of His holiness. Because He is holy, He deserves justice. Number two, God cannot overlook sin. You know, as a guilty sinner, I would just prefer that God just kind of, you know, overlooks my offenses. I would just prefer that if God just kind of looked the other way whenever I commit sin. However, if God overlooks sin, God would not be just. If God overlooks sin, God would not be holy. If God overlooks sin, He would not be righteous. You take for example, let's imagine for a moment that you are going into a courtroom setting. And let's just imagine that for a moment that there is a judge that you know is kind of lenient, all right? You know this judge is kind of lenient. You know that the last 15 cases, just like your case, he's let people walk. Do you think that you would consider that person, that judge, to be a just judge? No. No, because his responsibility is to pronounce a judgment that is just. If he just lets everybody walk, if he lets everybody go by the wayside, he would definitely not be a just judge. And the same thing is true with God. God is just. And because He is just, He cannot overlook sin. He cannot overlook our sin. And if you remember our previous study, we talked about God. We talked about some of His attributes. We talked about the fact that He is merciful. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. He is loving. He is faithful. He is just. And so because of that, I've painted a picture for you this morning that basically says we are in a mess. Amen? We're in a mess. We know we're sinners. We know that God is just. What is the solution? Well, I'm so glad you asked. I'm so glad that you asked. What is the solution? The solution is justification. The solution is justification. Here's a definition for justification. Guilty sinners can be declared righteous before God, by grace alone, through faith alone, through the person and work of Jesus Christ alone. I know that's a lot of blanks you got to fill in. But just look at that definition for a moment. Justification means that as a guilty sinner, I can be declared righteous. I'm not made righteous, but I'm declared righteous. I am declared righteous before God, and it's nothing that I have done. It's nothing that I have worked up. It's nothing that I have performed. It is by grace alone. Aren't you thankful for God's grace? We're going to talk more about it in just a moment. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, through the person and the work of Jesus Christ alone. And so even though we are sinners, and even though God is just and God is holy, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, we can be declared righteous. We can be declared righteous, and that has so much significance that we're going to get to in just a moment. So I hope that you have a good understanding, and maybe a proper understanding of justification this morning. Let's move on to the source of justification. The source of justification, and here is where the great divide took place during the Protestant Reformation. Because for centuries, the Roman Catholic Church had taught that a person can be justified through doing good things. For example, if a person paid a certain penance, then they could be justified. If a person lived a good moral life, if they went to confession, if they did all of those things on a regular basis, then they could be justified. And this is where Martin Luther steps into the picture. As Martin Luther is studying his Bible, and as he's reading Scripture, and he comes to Romans chapter 3, where it says, "The just shall live by faith," Martin Luther's heart was gripped. And Martin Luther came to the moment in his life where he realized that no amount of work that he did could declare him righteous. He realized that there was no amount of penance, there was no amount of going to church, there was no amount of human effort that he did on his own that could declare him righteous. Let's look at Romans chapter 3. As I said, justification, the word justification and the word justice, all of that is used about 200 times throughout the New Testament. But Romans chapter 3 is one of the best places for us to turn this morning. As we think about this great truth, notice that justification, number one, is by the grace of God. And the reality is this passage of Scripture, the outline, it just comes right out of this text. Look at verse number 24. "And are justified by what? His grace as a gift." You see, where does justification start? It starts with God, right? It starts with God. Justification comes by His grace. You see, there's no amount of work that you and I can do to bring about justification. We cannot work up justification on our own. Justification is something that comes directly from God. It is a free gift of God. It comes by His grace. It doesn't start with you. It doesn't start with me. It starts with God. It is a part of His amazing grace. When we stand to sing Amazing Grace from time to time, one of the things we should think about is the fact that God has justified us. Amen? When we think about God's grace, one of the things we should think about is the fact that God has justified us by His grace. There is nothing that we can bring to the table. Number two, justification is always based on the death of Jesus Christ. That's what verse 24 and 25 say. It says, "Through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins." We've already talked about the fact that the penalty of sin is what? It is death. God warned Adam in the garden that in that day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 32, they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. Romans says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ." And so we know that the penalty for sin is death. The amazing truth is that God Himself, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, He came to earth and He died. He paid the debt that we owed. That's what the word propitiation means. He came to the world and took our place. He paid the debt that you and I owed. Not only did Jesus take all of our sins, past, present, and future, upon Himself on the cross, but He also gave to us His perfect righteousness. The great exchange that took place. Jesus died on the cross. And because He died upon the cross, because He went there and took upon Himself our sins, He took upon our sins. and He gives to us His righteousness. Therefore, justification through the work of Jesus Christ in our place for our sins on the cross is the only by the grace of Jesus Christ alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, because of the work of Jesus Christ alone. You see the word alone there, don't you? A lot. You see, it's nothing that we do. It's all because of what Jesus has done. And then number three, justification is completely free from human effort. I know we've already touched on this a moment, but apparently Paul felt this was important to bring back to our attention. And he continues to bring that back to our attention. Look at verse 28. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. We hold that one is justified. One has been declared righteous by faith alone, right? One has been declared righteous, and it says there, by faith apart from works of the law. And to drive home that point, he brings up Abraham down in chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, beginning of verse 1. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? Paul basically says this. Because we agree that Abraham is the purest example of a justified man in God's sight, why don't we look at him carefully to determine how was he justified? Was it something that he did on his own, or was it something that God did for him? Was it because he was willing to take Isaac up on Mount Moriah and have him sacrificed? Or was it because of what God had done for him? How was Abraham justified? Well, he goes on to say, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Do you see what Paul is doing there? He is telling us that Abraham did not bring anything to the table. Abraham believed God, and it was counted. Look there in that verse, verse number 3. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. One translation of the Bible says it this way. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. I like that word, reckon. My mom used to use that. My mom still uses that word, reckon. You know, I'll ask her, so, you know, are you going to be able to come down and see us? She says, yeah, I reckon so. Y'all from North Carolina, you know what that, you've been there, right? I reckon so. The word reckon in the Bible comes from an economic or a legal meaning, where it basically means to credit something to another's account. To credit something to another's account. And so when the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was reckoned, it was counted to him as righteousness, that means that Abraham believed who God is, he believed what God had done, and God took that and he credited him with righteousness. That's grace. That's God's grace. God in His grace gave him righteousness. Nothing Abraham did, nothing Abraham brought to the table, and the same thing is true for you and for me. Verse number 5, and to the one who does not work but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith, this is you and I, is counted or is reckoned as righteousness. God only saves the person who does not trust in his own work. But he saves the person who trusts in him alone. And when we trust in Him alone, that is when we are justified. Until a person confesses that he is ungodly, that he is not a candidate for salvation, but he trusts in fully in God, believing in what God has done, believing what Jesus has done, then he can be justified. That's what Paul is telling us. That's what he's teaching us here in Romans 3 and Romans 4. The source of justification is God. I mean, I just laid all that out there. The last 10, 15 minutes, I could have just said it real quick, couldn't I? Right? The source of justification is what? God. He's the one who gives us justification through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, you say, what does that mean for me today? What's the significance for today? Let me share with you, number three, the results of justification. And as I was reading this week, I came across these three points that I want to share with you this morning. I came across these three points that I think help us understand the results of justification. Number one, because of justification, you are completely forgiven. You are completely forgiven. Look at Romans chapter 4 again, verses 6 through 8. In verses 1 through 5, he uses Abraham. Abraham, everyone recognized as, you know, the father of Israel. Everyone recognized him as a great man. And now he brings up David. And David, obviously, the man after God's own heart, the king of Israel, he brings up David and he says this about David. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sins. Think about that. Two of the great men of the Old Testament, Abraham and David. And he brings both of these two men together to prove the point that because of the blood, because of who God is, because of the righteousness that God gives to us, we can be forgiven. In Psalm chapter 32, the man after God's own heart, David says the following, Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. Psalm 51, David prays. David prays, he's thanking God for forgiving him, cleansing him. He says these words. This is a song of confession. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. You see, friends, what happened is David knew that only God could purify and wash away his sins. David understood that only God could blot out all of his iniquities. Only God could create within him a pure heart and deliver him from the guilt and from the sin that produced it. David understood that the only way he could be truly forgiven is through God, through what God had done for him. And the same thing is true for us. You can be completely forgiven because of the justification that is available through Jesus Christ this morning. Amen? Number two, you have a new righteousness. You have a new righteousness. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for our sake, He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We have a new righteousness. John MacArthur tells the following illustration to help us understand this truth. He tells this illustration about a poor farmer who had saved up all of his extra money for many, many years in order to buy an ox to pull his plow. When he thought that he had all the money saved up, he traveled to a great distance to the nearest town to go shopping for an ox. Not what we normally do today, but that's what this guy did. Well, as he's shopping for the ox, he soon discovered that the paper money he had been saving had been replaced by a new currency. And the date for exchange from the old to the new had expired. The time had passed. And so basically, the money that he had saved up was worthless. There was no way he could buy the ox. Well, the farmer, because he was illiterate, he asked a man in that area to write a letter to the president of the country explaining this dire situation and asking for an exemption. The president wrote back, and he said the following. He said, the law must be followed. He said, because the deadline for exchanging bills has already passed, the government can no longer change your bills for the new ones. Even the president is not exempt from this rule, he said. However, because I believe that you really worked hard to save up your money, I am changing your money for new money, and I'm taking it out of my own personal funds so that you can go and buy the ox. MacArthur said this. He said, before God, every person's good works are worthless as that farmer's outdated money. But God Himself, in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, has paid the debt. And when a confessed sinner casts himself on God's mercy and accepts in faith the Lord's atoning work on his behalf, he can stand forgiven and divinely righteous before Him. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. God is the one who makes that great exchange. And because of that great exchange, we have a new righteousness. That's the great thing about justification. But there's one more I want you to see, and that's this. You are declared not guilty, and you can never be condemned. Amen. I think one of the greatest verses in the Bible, one of the greatest verses definitely in the book of Romans, is Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, where the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is now what? No condemnation. Paul announces this marvelous truth to those Christians in Rome. He announces this wonderful truth as they were thinking they were still guilty. They were thinking they were still guilty. But the heart of the gospel is that Jesus has completely and permanently paid the debt of sin and the penalty of the law for every person who asks in His grace. Skip down to verse number 31 if you have your Bibles open to Romans 8. Paul goes on to rhetorically ask the question, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. You see, there's nobody who can bring a charge against God's elect. There's nobody who can condemn us. There's no one who condemns us. Now, we a lot of times we try to condemn ourselves. You know, it's hard. People have a hard time with guilt. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if you have put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The justification is a great reminder that Jesus Christ has paid the price. And when He said on the cross, "It is finished," you can write it down. It is finished, friends. It is finished. So this morning, let me just ask this question. Have you been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross? Or are you living and trying with all of your might to justify yourself by your good deeds? You see, that's the great divide. That's the great question. That's what sparked the Protestant Reformation. Are you justified by what Jesus Christ has done? Or are you trying to justify yourself by doing good things? I want you to know this morning, dear friends, there is no amount of good things that you could ever do that could equal what God has done for you already. Oh, you can try. And there's a lot of people in this world today. They're trying. They're working. They're working hard. They're doing all that they think they can to achieve justification. But I want you to know, the only way you can be justified is through what Jesus Christ has done for you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You this morning for what You have done for us upon the cross. We thank You, God, that You have declared us righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done. God, I pray for every person who is here today, God, those who have already put their faith and trust in Jesus, I pray, God, that we would be reminded this morning of the grace of God, that we would celebrate that, we would rejoice in that. And God, I pray for those who are here today who have been trying with all of their might, trying with all of their desires to live in such a way that they'd be justified. God, I pray that today they would stop trying and start trusting. Start trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that You'd speak to every heart that's here today. Help us, God, to respond. Help us, God, to remember. Help us, God, to do all things for Your glory, for Your name's sake. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing this invitation hymn. If God's spoken to your heart about a decision that you might need to make today, maybe you're trying hard, you've been working yourself to be justified, and you realize today, I can't do it myself, I need Jesus. I'll be standing right down front here. God's spoken to your heart, you come.